Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. When Governor Mike Dunleavy was on the campaign trail, he said he had no plans to cut the state budget for schools, ferries, or the university system. But once he was elected, he proposed just that, major spending reductions. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk has this story on how Dunleavy's positions evolved.
Governor Mike Dunleavy is proposing to cut more than two-thirds of the budget from Alaska's state ferry system. The ferries would stop running just 3 months into the next fiscal year, on October 1st. A shutdown like that would create big problems for ferry-dependent communities in southeast Alaska and for Shane Thompson, who runs the store in the village of Angoon. There are no roads out of Angoon, and Thompson uses the ferries for weekly deliveries of groceries. Guess who he voted for? Mike Dunleavy.
You know, I did. And I voted for Dunleavy because of the fact that he was saying that he was going to do everything he could to keep the ferry system intact.
Thompson sounds a little sheepish now, but he's not crazy. He had good reasons for believing that. On the campaign trail, Dunleavy stopped in Ketchikan, where he told the Daily newspaper that, quote, there is no plan to hack, cut, or destroy, unquote, the ferry system. He said he wanted the ferries to run more efficiently, but he stressed that wasn't a code word for chopping off big chunks of it. And then this is what he told Ketchikan's public radio reporter.
I don't envision at any time that there would not be a functional, robust ferry service in the southeast, the panhandle of Alaska.
Ferries aren't the only area where Dunleavy's position as governor has changed from his campaign rhetoric. As a candidate, he was asked during a debate on KTVA-TV whether he would make cuts to Pioneer Homes. The answer was no. Public education? Not at this time. And
University of Alaska. Cuts, yes or no? Mr. Dunleavy.
No for now.
Fast forward less than a year, and all those programs saw major reductions in Dunleavy's budget proposal in February. Dunleavy wouldn't agree to an interview for this story, but he said the change stems from oil prices falling sharply in the 2 months before he took office to less than $60 a barrel. That cost the state $1.5 billion in revenue, enough to basically balance the budget. Oil prices are volatile. They were much lower earlier in the campaign. In any case, Dunleavy spokesman Matt Shukero says people understood that the governor was going to take a different approach to state spending.
And so the governor's sentiment was very clear. He wanted to protect and preserve PFD, and he also didn't believe that new taxes were going to be the approach. And so he was going to take a different direction. And that was addressing the structural deficit that we have.
Dunleavy's critics are still fuming from the campaign because they think he was able to make dubious claims about the budget that were never firmly debunked by the media. And they think that might have changed the outcome of the election. Dunleavy's focus was boosting the size of Alaskans' permanent fund dividend checks, not on what government services he might have to cut to afford them. Representative Ivy Sponholz, an Anchorage Democrat, says Alaskans deserved a fuller discussion about what was at stake.
One of the things that leaders have to do, and elected officials as leaders have to do, is we have to spend the time and the energy to educate our constituents about what the issues are and what the challenges and costs are to the decisions that we make. And, you know, I think that Alaskans deserve transparency and disclosure in terms of what people want to achieve when they come into office.
As for Thompson, the guy who uses the ferry to move his grocery shipments, he says he feels like he's been lied to.
I try to find candidates that are straightforward and they stand behind their word, and I can tell you right now, I feel like a fool, because of listening to somebody that was basically had a totally different agenda in mind when they were on the campaign trail.
Thompson says he's willing to pay taxes or to give up part of his permanent fund dividend to reduce the need for budget cuts. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
A union is suing the Dunleavy administration to stop the privatization of Alaska's main psychiatric hospital. In February, the administration introduced a plan to turn over management of the troubled Alaska Psychiatric Institute to WellPath, a private company based in Tennessee. The move has been criticized for bypassing the competitive bidding process and because of the extensive number of federal complaints filed against one of the two companies that merged to form WellPath. And now, The Alaska State Employees Association is suing the administration in state superior court to halt the change.
We are facing an emergency situation where we want to save our members' jobs.
Jake Metcalf is ASEA's executive director. He says the union represents around 8,000 workers across the state, 211 of whom are employees at API and could eventually see their jobs eliminated under the privatization plan. The group is pursuing a restraining order to immediately block WellPath's management of the facility. Metcalf says that while there are concerns about patient well-being, the union's actions are based on what it sees as a breach of labor laws that affect employees.
In this case, the state has gone ahead and signed a contract with a private employer and not given our members the contractual rights that they have or the opportunity to show that they can do a job cheaper and provide a better service. And that's a violation of contract law. It's a violation of the state procurement law. And we think it's a violation of the Alaska Constitution.
Metcalf says that as of noon today, the state has not yet responded to the motion in court. Matt Shuckrow is a spokesperson for the Dunleavy administration, but can't comment on pending litigation. But he says the administration's decisions about API are not driven by budgetary concerns. The facility has faced a barrage of problems, from working conditions to employee vacancies to patient safety concerns. Shuckrow says the administration moved swiftly to transfer control of the hospital to WellPath because it was at imminent risk of losing federal funds and even being forced to shut down completely.
The challenges that plagued API for numerous years, there's an understanding, a healthy understanding, that this system was broken and that without doing something that we were in a very, very difficult situation.
The union expects the court to hear arguments before the end of the week. Senator Lisa Murkowski made an unexpected visit to Bethel on her way to Eek this past weekend. While in Bethel, she got to participate in the community's earliest river breakup celebration on record. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schellenberger caught up with Murkowski about her plans to address climate change in Congress.
Though people shared hot dogs and experienced live music and rock dance on Saturday, it was another example of climate change taking a toll on the region.
It is a reality that we are seeing.
Democrats and Republicans are divided in how the country should tackle climate change in Congress. Many Democrats back the Green New Deal. It's not a bill yet. It's a proposal to completely rewrite the U.S. economy to tackle inequality and climate change. Republicans like Murkowski think that's too idealistic.
What I'm trying to focus on and what we've been trying to do in the Energy Committee is lead on an analysis and assessment of what are some of the pragmatic solutions that we're putting in place now.
Those solutions are modest. Invest more in technologies like nuclear and reduce emissions. Don't just focus on renewable energy like wind and solar.
I want to make sure that I don't leave people with the idea that I think that there's one silver bullet. I don't. I think that there is a multitude of different ideas.
Each one, she says, should be tailored to the place and affordable. The YK Delta pays some of the highest power bills in the state. She's also not a fan of subsidies for renewable energy from federal government, and she is a fan of natural resource development. That includes oil, the biggest extraction industry in Alaska. Before her visit to Bethel, Murkowski wrapped up a hearing in Washington, D.C. with the Senate Natural Resources and Energy Committee on Climate Change. She says she hopes that will push the conversation forward. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schellenberger in Bethel.
And finally, the National Weather Service has issued a special weather statement affecting most of southeast Alaska. A strong developing low will move from the North Pacific into the Northeast Gulf by Thursday morning. Strong gales of 40 to 45 knots will affect the eastern Gulf of Alaska with the front and around the low pressure center. Once the front moves north through the panhandle, a burst of strong southerly winds will spread northward in the inner channels. Some of the typical windy areas may see gusts to around 50 miles per hour along the southern outer coast. And weather tonight, scattered showers mainly after 10 p.m.